Well, our dear brother Jonah could have used that letter, couldn't he? As we're going to see today in the book of Jonah, and Lord willing, we'll bring this book to a close in our studies. We're in Jonah chapter 4. I'd like to begin reading in verse 10 of chapter 3. Reminding us of what we looked at last week. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. We looked at how Christ, because of what Christ did for us, our Lord does not place judgment upon us. We saw that our Lord turned from the destruction that he had promised upon us humans, the destruction, the judgment that we deserve because of Christ's sake, because of what he did for his people, he turned from that judgment for those that he has loved before the world began. Continuing in chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful, slow to angry, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat in the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. And he sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Now again, I am not going to stand before you and pretend that I know what all of the symbolism means here. I only want to talk to you about what God has showed me, what God has taught me personally. And the first thing that I see here is in verse 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and that he was very angry. Interesting. I would think that most preachers, most prophets, most of God's ministers would be happy when they preach the word of God and the Lord goes forth and transforms those people into believing children of God. You would think that this would bring great happiness to Jonah, but yet Jonah didn't get happy at all, did he? Yeah. He was displeased exceedingly. He was very angry. Jonah was thinking about himself only. What a strange thing. So my first point this morning is that all of God's messengers are no more than sinners saved by grace. Throughout Scripture, we see over and over again God's preachers, God's ordained ministers falling into sin. We saw where Abraham had the sin of unbelief, and he took his wife Sarah's handmaiden. We see where David had the sin of lust, where he saw a woman on her roof and took her and had her husband killed, sent to the front of the battle so that he would die. Even the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his side that most believe was a besetting sin, troubling his conscience. Yet what do scriptures say? 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." "My strength is made perfect in weakness." All of God's people are saved the same way, and that is through Christ Jesus the Lord. In Ephesians 2:8 it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, as it is a gift of, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God ordains our good works before the world ever began, just as he has ordained his people to be called out of darkness. He says, "They will be my people, and I shall be their God." Oh, how often we put our leaders, our loved ones, and even ourselves on pedestals, sitting higher than we should or they should. How about your mom? I put my mom on a pretty high pedestal. Or your dad? What about your wife? A child? Pastor? Even worse, myself. God's strength is brightest in the weakness of his people. Have we not seen the mercy our Lord has for this one who turned from his master? This one who turned his back on the one that created him? This one that ran from the clear instructions given to him by God himself? Have we not seen the mercy our Lord has when we turn from his ways? When we follow after the flesh? Our Lord and Savior delights in showing his mercy. And oh, how thankful we are that our Lord has mercy for Christ's sake. Do we not see that he spared us from what we deserve, the wrath that is to come, for Christ's sake? Look at how gentle our Lord deals with this one who is loved, this one that he loved before all of time, this one that was chosen before the foundation of the world. Verse 4, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" You know, when God saw the unbelief of Israel in the wilderness, what did he do? He opened up the earth and swallowed a whole bunch of them. Took them out, right, just like that. Closed the earth right back up. When the Lord saw the wickedness of Egypt, and let's not forget that the Lord raised up Egypt for this very purpose. He let Israel cross on dry land, and then as the Egyptians came through, his wrath came down and swallowed all of the Egyptian army. You know, if you ask that very question, "Doest thou well to be angry?" If you ask that very question of yourself, when anger floods into your being, maybe God will take you and show you some, remind you of some scriptures. Some scriptures such as Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Yes. Or maybe from 8:32 of Romans, where he says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Yes. Would those words not bring you comfort? Would it not take your anger and put it where it belongs? How can we be angry at something? And I'm preaching to myself here, folks. Especially with this election year that's going on in our government. It's real easy for me to get angry when you start talking about the things of the political things today. What comfort I must take in these words, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. But what about Romans 8:33? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. When I've gotten angry and I, wait a minute, John, stop, wait, just put it in the Lord's hands. How can I charge myself with that own thing when I know that the Lord has taken all my charges upon himself? It is God that justifieth. What about 8:34? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Or verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? Or distress? That's what Jonah's problem was here. He was distressed because he knew that the Lord was gracious and slow to anger. But yet he went into this town and now he was so afraid that this town was going to call him a liar. He knew it was God's word to stand before these people and preach what he did, so he did. And now he's sitting there, Lord, what'd you do that to me for? Who are we to question why God does things? All things. Even the troubles that come into our life are for our good. His strength is made brightest in the weakness of his people. Would these words not bring peace to the troubled soul? They would and they do to those that belong to Christ. If you are one of the called, as it says in Romans 8:28, then those words should bring comfort. What do we have to be angry about? Our God is in the heavens and he's doing as it pleases him. As we bring this lesson of Jonah to an end, let's give some thought to a couple of things. Look back at chapter 1, verse 2. It says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We see the depravity of all mankind in this city. Our wickedness came up before the Lord. And he brought us under the teaching and the preaching of his gospel. All men are born dead in trespasses and sin, yet our Lord has mercy. And in his sovereign, complete mercy, sitting in the heavens, sovereign over all things in heaven, sovereign over all things on earth, and sovereign over everything below this earth. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Chapter 1, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse 10, and the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. We see God's mercy. Chapter 3, verse 10. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God coming into our hearts, cutting away the stone that has no belief in him, giving us a heart to believe on him. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort. Here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Would you stand with me, please, and I'll lead us in closing prayer.